Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Call of Duty turning dangerous this morning for a local first responder who's now fighting for his life in critical condition. Here's what police tell us. Philadelphia police say that he was stabbed this morning after he had been 911 emergency call. He's answering that call, North Philadelphia, 22nd near Diamond Street. And this medic rushed to the hospital by police after being stabbed in the chest multiple times, in the hand. Police say they have now arrested the suspect. That's the latest here. Arrested the suspect at 23rd and Norris Streets. So they have that suspect in custody. But here's yet another story of, you know, this is a first responder fighting for his life. And I believe in Delaware County, there was a police officer who was injured in a car accident this morning as well. I'm trying to get the update on that one. Always just want to mix in the national news, local news, the campaign trail. Hey, Dawn Stensland here. If you watched any of the coverage last night, if you watched it live, as far as Brett Baer on Fox interviewing Vice President Kamala Harris, I'd love to hear your take if you watched it, or if you just saw clips on social media. That's important too. It's an important difference how you consume the media, right? And then during my show, we took, as you know, if you were here yesterday, we took parts of the Harris-Faulkner interview and town hall with former President Trump. They were in Georgia. Obviously, the vice president was here and in Bucks County with a lot of Republicans. Clearly, she's trying to woo women especially, but also Republicans who may be never Trumpers, those Nikki Haley loyalists who say, I really don't like Trump. I don't like his tweets. I liked Nikki better, or I liked a woman better, or maybe it's I'm a conservative, but I like Nikki Haley's approach to the abortion issue, any combo of those, and whether or not you think that she broke through or not. But I want to begin, if we can, with the story of Trump on Univision, and he's going for these Hispanic voters across the nation, representing, what, 15% of the vote in this country. And so this is a huge vote. It's a huge issue. And we know that if you are in this country legally, whether you are a legal asylum seeker, maybe you're here on a green card and you're going through some kind of a work card documented situation where, you know, you're on your path to citizenship, you've stood in line, as they say. And so the people who are most upset, or one of the groups most upset by this issue of millions of people just like a floodgate allowed to come in, are in fact the newest citizens or the newest asylum seekers, you know, finding a legal pathway. And by the way, just to, you know, put a bow on that in our area, let us not forget, you remember Danilo Cavalcante. So remember that he was somebody who rained terror on our region. Well, now there's a new ruling for this illegal immigrant and convicted killer locally here, Chester County, Pennsylvania, who consumed media coverage when he escaped prison. Remember this? Well, now the Pennsylvania Superior Court has said no. They have denied an appeal by Cavalcante. He's 35 years old. He, by the way, also still wanted for murder in his home country and his in South America and Brazil, came to this country illegally. Despite an order of protection against him, he was never reported to ICE by Democrats in Chester County, by the way. Had he been deported, a young mother, Deborah Brandau, would still be alive. He stabbed her to death in 2021, right in front of her young children, her sister now raising these children. But you remember, for 2 weeks, this escapee had stolen a gun, forced shutdowns of all the local schools, all the local roads, terrified residents, keeping their kids inside, worried that that armed and dangerous killer could strike. So we know what that feels like locally. And oh, that he was spotted in Philadelphia. He's in Delco. He's in Chesco. Remember that he stole that rifle during a violent confrontation with a homeowner. And he later confessed, once he was caught, he did confess to police that he planned to use that firearm to carjack a passerby. So guess what? Thank you. Kudos to the high court judge who said, no, you forfeited your rights to appeal. when this guy escaped from the Chesco prison just days after he was sentenced to life in prison. So the judge saying, nope, you're not even going to be given the chance to ever, you know, to ever appeal this case. So that's, you know, a local big story. Let's listen in to Trump if we can, as Trump is answering some questions. And I'll defer to you, Big Dan Borowski.
Yes. So first off, let's go to where he talks about the issue of immigration, Don. And he addresses the situation where he's been saying about the Haitian immigrants eating cats and all. But one thing about this is, listen to this great translator voice, Don. And I want to see if you can place who he sounds like that we're very familiar with. Take a listen.
Soy un republicano, registrado republicano, pero en este momento me encuentro indeciso.
Good evening, Mr. President. I am a Republican. I am a registered Republican, but at this time I am undecided.
Durante la campaña se han utilizado muchas teorías de conspiración.
During the campaign, there has been some conspiracy theories in use.
Le doy un ejemplo, si me permite.
If you allow me, I would like to give an example of it.
Tell me it doesn't sound like Ron Swanson from Parks and Recreation.
On a side note.
Sorry about that.
Las autoridades de Springfield, Ohio, han aclarado una y otra vez que los haitianos no se están comiendo los perros ni los gatos de sus gentes.
The authorities in Springfield, Ohio have more than one time clarified that the Haitians are not eating their cats and their dogs.
Sin embargo, usted les quiere revocar su permiso que tienen para residir legalmente en este país.
Nonetheless, you want to revoke the permit they have to legally reside in this country.
Mi pregunta, con todo respeto, es si usted verdaderamente cree que estas personas se comen las mascotas de la gente.
My question to you, very respectfully, is, do you really believe that these people are eating the people's pets?
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. And this was just reported. I was just saying what was reported. That's been reported.
And
eating other things, too, that they're not supposed to be. But this is all I do is report. I was there. I'm going to be there. And we're going to take a look, and I'll give you a full report when I do. But that's been in the newspapers and reported pretty broadly. I will say this as far as Springfield is concerned, because I do know that situation. You have a city of 52,000 people, and they've added almost 30,000 migrants into the city. If you were a person that lived there, if you lived in Springfield, Ohio, and all of a sudden you couldn't get into a hospital, you couldn't get your children into a school, you wouldn't be able to buy groceries, you could no longer pay the rent because the government's paying rent. Any of that, if any of that happened, it would be a disaster for you and you wouldn't be happy. We want to make our people safe and secure, and we want to make them happy. But Springfield, Ohio is a perfect example. You have a town, a beautiful little town with no problems. All of a sudden, they have 30 or 32,000 people dropped into the town, most of whom don't speak the language, most of whom don't speak the language at all. And what they're doing is they're looking all over for interpreters. Well, I mean, I think you can't just destroy our country. It's maybe some people disagree with me, but you can't put in a very short period of time 32,000 people into a 50,000 people town and expect things to go well. It's a disaster. It's a total disaster.
So Trump, is it a risk? Do you feel it's a risk that he went onto Univision? Pew Research, by the way, just to give you some numbers, 36.2 million Hispanics in America are eligible to vote in this year's election. And they represent the second fastest growing major racial group in the United States. This is Pew's wording, Pew Research's wording. And particularly they are important in the battleground states of Arizona and Nevada, and maybe to a lesser degree, I'm not sure, here in Pennsylvania. And then there are some different, you know, you can look at all the different polls, but I will say broadly, many of the polls, and this is a New York Times Siena College poll, a lot of the polls do say that Harris wins in the Hispanic vote. Trump is respectable, but that Harris wins that. And so he's reaching out and saying, I value you. This is not easy. And so he had some tough questions here. I think he answered that well, to say that he, that was the report. We all saw the reports. There were actually, they were having city hall meetings there in Springfield, Ohio. There were people who claimed to be witnesses and city advocates and community leaders who said they saw this happening. He was reporting on it. And he, I think he handled that as well as he could have. The national headlines are saying, oh, he doubled down. Do you think he doubled down? I think that he was saying, I reported it. I'll be there soon. I'll report back to you. Okay, good. So the other thing I'll point out to you is that there were exit polls that they're pointing to saying that Biden won 65% of Latino voters. And so even though Harris still is ahead, they are closing that gap. And I think that's what they hope for. So let's listen on. I want to hear some of these other questions with Melania. He talks about what else. And thank you for doing this, Dan.
Yeah, no problem. So this next question comes from a woman who wants to know whether or not, actually, it's self-description. Okay. Take a listen.
Buenas noches, señor presidente. Su esposa Melania dijo recientemente que apoyaba los derechos reproductivos de las mujeres y que pudieran practicarse un aborto.
Good evening, Mr. Trump, President. Recently, your wife, Melania, said that she supported women's rights of reproduction along with being able to get an abortion.
Mi pregunta es si usted está de acuerdo con ella.
My question is, do you agree with her?
Well, thank you very much. First of all, I told Melania that she has to go with her heart and she has to do what she has to do. She has to support what she wants to support. And she wrote a great book. It was just, it's a number one bestseller. I hope you all go out and buy it. It's really a great book. But I want her to do what she wants to do. I wouldn't be want to oppose what I think. What has happened is over the last 52 years, people have wanted to get Roe v. Wade out of the federal government. And they've been trying. Every lawyer, every legal scholar, Democrats, Republicans, conservatives, liberals, everybody wanted it out. It shouldn't be in the federal government. They wanted it out for many different reasons, all of them very good reasons. And I was able to do that. And with the courage of six great Supreme Court justices who are brilliant and courageous, because this issue has torn our country apart. For 52 years, it's torn our country apart. And if something wasn't done, it would have continued and maybe gotten worse. And I was able to do that. And I, like Ronald Reagan, I believe in the exceptions for life of the mother, rape, and incest.
We'll bring you more of this because I feel that this Univision interview is actually more important. Because if he won over people, and I'll tell you about a back and forth, he actually said some nice compliments of the vice president. And she was asked a similar question, struggled to, you know, with the same question. So we'll compare and contrast that one. But we have a great caller earlier this morning on Kale & Company. We were discussing, in fact, that there are Republicans, conservatives. Maybe you took part in a campaign rally, or maybe you were in a campaign commercial, or maybe you have campaign signs in your front yard, and you have received these letters. You have received threats. This is an incredible situation, and we want to talk about it. Do we go to him now, or should we take a break first?
We do have to take a quick break here.
So we're gonna talk to this gentleman, local business owner, who has been threatened. His employees have been threatened after they were in a Trump ad and in a Trump event. So we want to hear from him and give you this important information, because this is not okay. We want to let you know that. And also, you're not alone if you're getting these types of threats and intimidation. So we have some important information for you. And we'll get back to the Trump Univision piece, because this is crucial. If he did well with any of these voters, Hispanic voters, this could be huge. And Trump knows it. I always say that it's important that we can have a conversation. I want to welcome you in. Because sometimes you'll say to me, Dawn, why do you take all these callers? And you're so nice to them, even if they're calling you a nasty name, or they're a Democrat or an independent. Why? I say, because we have to have the conversation and respect one another. I truly believe in that, because that leads to a discussion about the issues. And if we're all paying attention and we're well educated on the issues, then we are in fact, not supporting the swamp, right? That just plays us all the time. Because I always say, don't get played. And I think oftentimes we are getting played by these divisive partisan issues where career politicians can easily raise money off of incendiary issues that they're never incentivized to ever, ever solve, right? And so one of those would be abortion. So we received this email, and Jimmy Kelly actually forwarded it, and I think Jimmy had talked to, you know, talks to some of our callers. This one, and I don't know if you want me to say your name, because so I had written to one of our listeners, written to him, and he's calling in now. I don't even know, do you want me to introduce you? Are you okay to say your name? But you have, unfortunately, you've been living with these threats, not just for you, but also for one of your employees. Good morning, and thank you for calling.
Yep, thanks, Dawn. Yeah, the name's Lou Purdy. I run a local plumbing, heating, and air conditioning business over here in Aston, Pennsylvania. And I'm also a GOP committee man over here in Upper Chichester. And our slogans, don't get dirty, call Purdy. I've been in business for well over 35 years, and I'm a Navy veteran. And I was asked by the local GOP. They knew that I participated in a lot of the Trump rallies and went to a lot of the Trump things. I advertise a lot for Trump out here, go out knocking on doors. So the McCormick campaign reached out to me through the GOP at Delco, and they asked if I would be interested in doing a commercial. And I support Dave McCormick because he's a veteran. I believe in his policies, and I don't believe that we should have politicians who should be in office forever, especially as a senator. I feel maybe two terms and they should be on out of there. So they came over to my shop and they did a commercial here. They had my employees on. They had myself on. And we spent about 6 hours with them. And they did a short commercial. The commercial hasn't aired around here. It's aired out in Pittsburgh area, Altoona, Harrisburg, Scranton area, but hasn't aired out here. So all of a sudden, my Google account starts getting hacked, and I'm starting getting these reviews where we had really good reviews. Now, we're not a perfect plumbers. We, you know, we've had some reviews in the past where, you know, people weren't happy, and we try to rectify them as best as possible. But
yeah,
I can tell you in the last probably week, we've had over 5,000 hits on our Google review page, wow, our Facebook page, and also on Yelp.
And
I
how many would you normally get?
We probably get maybe a couple hundred a month at the most, but in a week we got about 5,000 hit because of the commercial.
Okay.
And so they went on to they were able to hack my website. They hacked my website. I had to drop that down because of it being hacked. And then they went into my LinkedIn account and just started putting posts out there, and I had to delete my LinkedIn account, which was referred to my business.
Yeah.
And then Google and Facebook, I've been, you know, going back and reporting issues to them, but they're slow at best. They've taken my rating down. They threatened me. They called the office, and they'll call the office and leave voicemails, threatening voicemails. I even had people said that they would come to my shop. They would do bodily harm to me or my employees.
And you have those recordings?
Carrier. What was that?
You have recordings of people making those threats?
I got recordings. I've got Facebook posts on my Messenger. I've kept them all in line. Right. And I've been debating whether to go to the state police or not, because some of these people are just over the top with their threats. And
how
I just wanted
employees
to put it out there, you know, for believing in Mr. McCormick and Donald Trump,
yeah,
President Trump, you know, that this is what's happening to a business. And they've really taken my ratings and dropped them down where, you know, we were 4.7. We're now down to a 3.8. And you go on to a Google ratings and you'll see how we drop significantly on Facebook, Google, and Yelp.
And so how are your employees? Because I know that at least one of your employees is a woman who's afraid. So how are your employees doing?
Well, they're doing good. So, you know, we keep aware of everything. I tell them to look over their shoulder, make sure that somebody's sitting in a truck, especially if we get up into the Philadelphia area or into Chester, Pennsylvania area, that to look over your shoulder, have somebody sitting in the truck, watching the truck on watch. So basically, instead of having two employees in the job doing the job, I have to have one sit in the truck. My secretary, we pretty much try to, you know, keep her protected with a German Shepherd and, you know, having our neighbors keep an eye on the shop and letting her know where the firearms are stationed in the building. The threats are just unbelievable. I mean, you know, I don't agree with everything Mr. Trump says, President Trump says, but I'm an advocate of his. Just because I believe in what he is saying about our country, this illegal immigrants situation where I have three employees that are legal, they're legal immigrants. I hired them because they reminded me of my father. My father came to this country in 1957 at 19 years old. And these guys came to me. I knew them from their father-in-law by playing ice hockey with their father-in-law. And I wound up hiring them, and they're illegal. These people are threatening me that, you know, you go against illegal immigrants or illegal immigrants and all that, and they don't even know half the story of it. And I don't even respond back to them anymore, but I basically got to keep on pulling that Google reviews because, you know, they're trying to really, if you go on there, you'll see they're really trying to knock the business down.
Well, first of all, I'm so sorry that this happened to you as well as your employees. That's horrible. It shouldn't happen. And I know, and as you know, Lou, I forwarded your email and your information to Linda Kearns, as she's an attorney. Yeah. She called in earlier. What is happening to you represents, these are felony crimes on many levels.
Right.
So this kind of, you know, electioneering, this kind of, you know, limiting your free speech and obviously threats of violence, all of this in one package.
Yep.
These are felony crimes, and people need to, first of all, you and your company need to know that, you know, this, you're not alone. And we're starting, I'm hearing this more and more that this is a tactic. It's never okay. And, Lou, I really appreciate you sharing this because we all need to, you know, just support the fact that, you know, you have every right to put up any yard signs you want, whether privately or in front of your private business. That's your right. We have free speech rights, First Amendment rights. But for people to threaten violence, and this happened to another lady named Janet, somebody else called in. I mean, this is going on. It's terrible. And so I hope that, you know, we can get this to the right authorities, to law enforcement. And I should hope that they will investigate this and bring forth justice.
Yeah, I was, you know, really kicking around to go to the district attorney's office and filing a personal complaint against these people or going to the state police and doing it. Listen, I've been in politics for over 30-some-odd years as a local, and I've got thick skin. I know how to play the game where you need to have thick skin.
Yeah.
But for them to threaten my employees and that stuff, they just took it to the next level. And listen, back in 2016 and 2020, they did it to me then.
I'm
but
so
on
sorry.
The scale,
you know what, Lewis?
Time is just,
this is terrible. I hope we continue the conversation. I've got an interview with Lieutenant Chris McMullen, so I've got to fly, but we will continue.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lewis. Take care. I'm so, so sorry to hear this with Purdy. If it's dirty, get Purdy with a P-E-R-T. So we'll talk more about I like that.
Tagline.
If it's dirty, get Purdy. So we'll talk. We'll keep you updated. And I have some other thoughts on that. Linda Kearns is already on the case. But I'm really excited to talk to Lieutenant Chris McMullen, local Philly cop, now has a biggity big show. So we'll talk about all of it with him. Be right back.
Now panic is really setting in the city.
This was premeditated in the coldest way possible.
This killing was personal.
There was a woman found lying on a sidewalk in Center City. I was a father of two daughters. I wanted him caught more than anybody did.
They found the victim lying on the kitchen floor.
His whole jaw was shattered.
He
We knew we had a serial killer.
I said, is he weird? She said, he's a lot of weird.
It was like he was possessed.
Drop it!
Philly Homicide, new series October 26th on Oxygen True Crime.
Ooh, I cannot wait for this. As a longtime news reporter here in Philadelphia, this is something that is on my calendar. Love, love, love. This is a brand new upcoming true crime series, and it is incredible. New 10-episode docuseries hosted by Philadelphia's own Lieutenant Chris McMullen, who, yes, is a real cop here in Philly, who now is a host of Oxygen. This is incredible. First of all, congratulations, Chris, for getting this series. I know that you're psyched about it.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So, you know, obviously the number one situation when we think about Philadelphia, we think about the unsolved crimes that I know haunt every detective. You know, still to this day, there are detectives in Philadelphia and the region that I'll talk to, and they still are haunted by that one that got away that is still unsolved. And so it's an ongoing case. Take us through what we can expect of, you know, this new series, Philly Homicide.
Well, this show, it's going to profile cases from the city and also the suburbs of the city. Mm-hmm. So you're going to see Bucks County, Montgomery County, Delaware County. You know, in true Philly spirit, it's authentic, it's raw. I mean, when these detectives are interviewed, nobody's telling them what to say. They are, everything you hear them say is what they wanted to say. It's based upon their experiences and what they felt at the time. It's very organic. And the same with, you know, some of the episodes have friends and families of the victims, and it's allowing them an opportunity to have a platform to speak about, you know, their loved one that was taken too soon, you know, and you know, how much they love that person and what kind of a person he or she was. And it's just going to show how hard these detectives worked to solve these cases. You know, justice doesn't always come easy. And you'll see that, you know, a lot of these detectives started to take these cases real personally. You know, one of the cases, retired Detective Chuck Boyle from Philadelphia, you know, they were looking for a guy that was going around, you know, randomly killing people. And, you know, he said it at the time. He said, listen, I have two daughters. Nobody wanted this guy caught more than I did. You know, and, you know, he meant that, you know, and it's a pretty compelling show. I think it's a pretty solid show. I think we've done a good job of keeping true to the vision that we had, that we just, you know, we wanted to honor the victims and show how hard the people in law enforcement work to bring justice and to bring the offenders off the street.
And with some of these, you get into talking about, you know, the updated technology, DNA technology, all of that, and how that might actually help, you know, solve these crimes moving forward?
Yeah, I know. There's some of those, off the top of my head, I think, you know, one of the cases, DNA played a huge role in identifying the offender. Absolutely.
And so what's the, are some of them, and I'm just trying to think, because I know you work with Bensalem Township Police Department. What are some of the cases that we may remember? Or can't you say?
No, I just, the very first episode is actually out of Chester, in Delaware County. Then actually from Bensalem, there's two cases from Bensalem. One, I think it was in 2020. It was where Dr. Jim Soa, he was a chiropractor, and he was found murdered in his home, which was also his office. Mm-hmm. That's one of our episodes. Another one from Bensalem, which was an older case from 2004, which I was very much involved in that case. A victim named Christian Rojas, who was found murdered in his apartment. Mm-hmm. There's another one from Bucks County, where a woman was killed in a church. There's one from Abington, one from East Norriton. There's three from Philadelphia. Yeah, there's three from the city.
You know,
so
and
we kind of
So, I'm sorry, Chris.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, we had a little bad connection there for just a second. You know, I think for so many reasons, it's important for people to understand. First of all, a lot of people may remember a lot of these higher profile cases, but also that they're not forgotten, that these cases remain open. And especially when it's a murder case, there's no limitation to it, right? It could be decades later, whatever. So this is, you know.
There's no statute of limitation on a murder case, no.
What do you love about doing this? Is it the camaraderie while interviewing other cops? Take me through what you love about it.
About Philly Homicide, I just love that we're able to show how hard, I think we have great detectives and law enforcement in the Philadelphia area, and we're getting to show, you know, the world how hard they work and how professional they are.
Yeah, and, I mean, for this, I will tell you that I think that for right now, after the defund the police movement and all of that, you know, with the pandemic, and we now need to hire cops,
yeah.
I hope that something like this attracts more law enforcement to see the, you know, the gratification that you get out of the job, the feel-good part of it.
Yeah, I do too, and other people have said that to me, and I would love nothing more than for, you know, some younger people that are still trying to, you know, figure out a career path, if they were to watch our show and say, you know what, I want to go in that direction, you know, because, you know, one thing I always, you know, whenever I had a case, whether it was a homicide case or any other type of case, you know, mm-hmm. At the end of the day, you know, you wanted to bring resolution. I wanted to make a positive difference in that person's life or the life of their family. And, you know, that's what it's about, doing good where something terrible has happened. I mean, obviously, you know, we can never bring a victim back, and we wish we could. We wish it never happened. But, you know, the best we can do is bring justice and stop that offender from doing it again.
Yeah. What's it like for you to make this switch? I mean, as a longtime, you know, homicide detective in law enforcement, and now to be a show host on Oxygen True Crime. I mean, what's that like for you, Chris, as you've made this career transition?
It's all kind of surreal. I mean, I really still having a hard time, you know, sitting here doing an interview with you. It's like, you know, I know the show's coming on, you know, and I think it's less than 2 weeks now. I'm like, wow, this is really happening, you know. it's fine. I mean, I'm lucky. I'm very grateful. I'm very mm-hmm. lucky. I mean, out of everybody in the world, I'm getting to host this show. So, you know, it's an honor.
Well, it's an honor to have you here. I hope you come back. Lieutenant Chris McMullen, really appreciate you coming on today.
Anytime.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So this debuts, it's October 20. I will watch that. This is right up my alley. And I have a son who's I should have mentioned it, but, you know, he's going for criminology. I don't know if he'll.
Oh, really?
Michael, yeah.
Why? Like, what triggered that?
I think, well, if I'm
honest.
Are
you like a big CSI fan, or?
And he would have gone into the military, but he was, you know, during the pandemic, diagnosed with type 1 diabetes.
Gotcha.
First question he asked the doctor, can I still go into the military? Doctor puts his head down. Sorry, son. It's the one thing.
Oh.
The one thing you can't.
Oh,
I know.
Poor guy.
So this is an alternative to fulfill that. You know, and just like you heard Chris say, that he, you know, to feel fulfilled, to feel like you're doing good.
So is he going to like forensic criminology where he's doing like DNA testing and...
He's interested in that. I think so. I think he doesn't know quite yet. He's taken all of those different classes. Huh. But this is, you know, we'll definitely, it's 10 episodes, right? Starts October 26th.
Yep.
And it's Oxygen's brand new Philly Crime. Dun, dun, dun. So I can't wait to see it. I probably, maybe over the years, I've covered some of these. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I love stuff like this.
So you're a big fan of these?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, murder docs?
Yeah.
Maisie is too.
And it's good when it's...
I like them, you know. I shouldn't downplay that. I enjoy them as well.
But Maisie likes them better.
Maisie's, like, obsessed with them.
Supposedly women...
If a new one comes out on Netflix, we got to watch it, like, within a couple days. Or
I'm like that, too.
Yeah, so we'll be watching this guy, I'm sure.
I think if you look at the stats, women like these kinds of shows better. I don't know why. I do not know why.
You know, they did a whole South Park episode about it called it Murder Porn.
Murder Porn. I missed that one. I'm sure my... I'm sure my kids watched it. So we'll get your thoughts on all of this. We'll return, you know, we'll return to the Trump issue and the vice president. I've got some more information about Elon Musk being in Delco and Folsom today, and you can sign up if you find the link there. So they're just trying to get people to make sure that they register to vote, because the deadline to register to vote, remember, it's coming up TikTok Monday the 21st, and that's it. So this is a real race to make sure that, because we have all these people who are just not going to vote, who are going to stay home. I hope you're not one of them. If you are, I want to hear from you, and I'll make my case. I'll try to get you to, you know, come to the other side. All right, we have to take a quick break, but I do have to talk to you. I can't wait for Italy. I'm so excited. I was looking up all of the pictures, and I actually bought, I'm just trying to think of, I did go out and buy a little wine from Tuscany, just to, you know what I mean? Because the wine tastings are so much fun, but it's the Italian Riviera. This is a gastronomical event only Conservative Tours can deliver. I really hope you join me for 11 days with the professionals from Conservative Tours. I tell you, they are the best tour operator in Italy, A-plus rating with the BBB, Better Business Bureau. So what are we doing? We're going to, these are all different destinations than we took last spring. So even if you went with me last spring, thank you, love you. But this time it's all different. Portofino, Rapallo, Santa Margherita Ligure, Tuscany, and the brilliant Cinque Terre, $53.78. Yes, it includes your airfare, $53.78. Dining events at the wineries, we're talking Tuscany, even an authentic farm visit to see Parmesan cheese being crafted by hand. Call toll-free 888-733-9494. You can always just go to conservativetours.com. Scroll down, you'll see my picture, conservativetours.com, and you'll see all the descriptions, all the pictures, hidden Italian villages you've never seen, like Giacomo Puccini, San Gimignano, the Leaning Tower of Pisa, Florence, Michelangelo's Florence, so beautiful, Milan. And then we will conclude on the Lakes region with Bellagio, Orta, and Isola Bella. Join me next spring in Italy. I'll see you in Cinque Terre. ConservativeTours.com. These are crimes on many levels to threaten people over their political stance. It's not right. It's a crime, and it needs to be reported. And so there's a difference between harassment and somebody actually, you know, going to the criminal felony level. Obviously, many different layers here, but we're hearing from more and more people, conservatives, with a Trump sign up, afraid to put a Trump sign up, or afraid to appear in a political ad, feeling persecuted. Maybe getting a little taste of what Trump has been feeling through. Remember when he was a media darling on NBC News with a hit show called The Apprentice? Remember when he was invited to everybody's party? Everybody loved him and sucked up to him until he ran for a political office, a big one at that, as a Republican. Your thoughts, 855-839-1210. Bill is in Montgomery County. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Dawn and Dan, how are you?
We're good.
Yeah. I wanted to make some comments about the Bret Baier interview.
Mm-hmm.
I think Harris showed her contempt for disagreeing opinions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the opinion of someone who doesn't agree with her. And I think there were two sound bites that were especially telling when she basically said to Bret Baier, you know, I'm speaking now. And it was the look on the face and just that anger. And then the other sound bite, which I think the Trump campaign can use, is when she said you're responsible for what happens in your administration.
Yes. Well, the second one, definitely. Because, and there were so many clips that you could take that were so ironic. I even would expound on that and say when she said something to the effect of, well, Trump is talking about persecuting or something to that. I'm paraphrasing, but it was basically talking about persecuting your political enemies. And I laughed out loud. I was like, oh, you think? And think of the J6ers,
yeah.
You know, citizens, when she said citizens, you know, that they're going to have a law enforcement go after citizens. It's like at a peaceful rally, huh? Oh, well, does that sound familiar to anybody? So, yeah, you could have a lot of fun with that.
I think it started with that surreal Joe Biden speech at Independence Hall with the Red and the Marine Guards and all that.
Darth Biden.
He actually used the phrase. Yeah, he actually used the phrase "enemies, foreign and domestic." You know, implying that anybody who disagreed with them politically would. As a matter of fact, my own experiences, and this is 100% for 8 for 9. I call myself not a Trump supporter, but a Trump voter.
Mm-hmm.
I would never go to a rally, and I have some concerns about Donald Trump, but I'm still voting for him.
Mm-hmm.
I would ask some, and I'm retired military, I would ask some of my friends, Facebook friends to the left, do you consider me to be a domestic enemy because I'm voting for Trump? And they will never say no. Of course not. They always couch it, won't answer the question. And getting back to that business owner you just had on, that's really scary stuff.
Yeah.
That because you're voting for someone, you know, that equals you being a domestic enemy.
Yeah.
So I don't know where this thing goes, where this thing lands.
Yeah, I think it's a point well taken. And I think for you, you know, the fact that you've grappled with the issue, and that's what we're all supposed to do. I'm not here to say somebody should vote for so-and-so. My only point is we should be well-educated, and we should look into the issues and say which issues better align with what I hope for, what I believe in, and I think there's less of that. And so that's, to me, that's the bothersome part, because if somebody's going to be such a sheep, a follower, as far as who they vote for, then will they be a follower as far as to your point, saying, well, that person is an enemy, or, you know what I mean? They're a danger to democracy, so we better take them out. And that's what we see now with these threats. And my goodness,
you're exactly right.
And Bill, I mean, think about the assassination attempt on Trump. Not once, but twice. I mean, this guy's shot in the ear. It's crazy.
Well, you will never get those same 8 or 9 individuals when you ask about that, you know, mm-hmm. that if Trump is Hitler, shouldn't Trump be taken out? They will never say, no, that's not appropriate in, you know, in America today. They always kind of couch that one, too.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and you get one of those. So, but like I said, just that if you're voting for Trump, you're the enemy. Not it's a political disagreement. And it's like you need to be squashed because you are an enemy.
Yeah.
And again, this, you know, Trump said some things I might disagree with, you know, like the enemy within and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But Biden really did start that with that Independence Hall speech.
Yeah.
You know, he set that table. He really did.
Yeah. And I thank you so much, Bill. I appreciate all your words of wisdom and certainly appreciate your service to our country in the military. I will say this. Trump has been asked over and over to clarify that enemy from within, because at one point, I think he was talking about the political persecution in the swamp. That's what I inferred from it. And so, yeah, I mean, if you are a famous person, particularly if you're a president or a past president or running for the presidency, every word, I mean, people take every word and put a big light on it and put a big magnifier on it. And so a lot of things are taken out of context. So it's just that, to Bill's point, when Trump says something, everybody says, oh, he's a danger to democracy. When somebody like President Joe Biden had that red lighting in Philadelphia, remember I did a whole segment on it. It was Darth Biden, and he had the United States Marines standing behind him as props. I didn't like that, with the red lighting, and talked about those MAGA Republicans. Just the way he said MAGA was awful. And there were some of you at the time calling in saying, wow, that's, you know, Joe Biden, I didn't vote for him, but I thought he was a pretty good guy. Oh, I guess he hates me. And it was kind of shocking at the time. So it's on both sides, but of course it's never reported that way. And I certainly hope that nobody actually is encouraging any violence against anybody. But if we, yeah, thank you for the Darth Biden. The Darth Biden music. But, you know, here's the thing. Did Trump do any of this? Did anybody get charged? Did anybody, Judge Engamoron or Letitia James or any? Did that happen? Jack Smith? Were they persecuted, prosecuted? No. Was there a J6 thing where they just continue right now to do facial recognition and arrest people and get grown men to cry and confess and then they get, you know, slapped with a misdemeanor, you know, for not doing any violence on J6. That's really going too far, in my opinion.
Don Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.